Our Bible study today takes us again into the fourth chapter of Paul's epistle to the Philippians. I'm going to read to you verses 5 through 9 of chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. I'm sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of these verses. Now this portion of the epistle sets before the Christian the possibility of dwelling on what John Bunyan would have called the Delectable Mountain, and dwelling there in happy fellowship with other Christians, and breathing the pure air of a heavenly atmosphere, while being protected by the peace of God, and enjoying the presence of the God of peace. Now here are some of the things we might consider in the verses. First of all, in verse 5, we have the peerless precept. Let your moderation be known unto all men. In verse 6, there is set before us the philosophy of prayer. In verse 7, there's the protection of peace, entitled the peace of God. But verses 8 and 9, there's the practice of principles. It's a charter for Christian contemplation. Think right and act right. Look at the first one now, verse 5. A peerless precept. Let me remind you, it is a duty enjoined. He says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. There is a need for sweet reasonableness. This is an essential ingredient of true happiness. A person can't be truly happy if they are unreasonable. Their unreasonable will sour their own soul. But where there is a sweet reasonableness, you will find that that person is usually a happy person. But the reason here is enforced. The Lord is at hand. His protective eye is upon us now, and His coming is drawing near. When we say the Lord is at hand, some people would take these words simply to mean that the coming of the Lord is drawing nigh. But personally, I think it involves much more than that. The fact is, the Lord is at hand. There's nothing hidden from His eye. There's nothing that is unknown to Him. He knows all about us. So because the Lord is at hand, not only day by day watching over us, but because His coming is drawing near, and because His protective eye is upon us, surely these things, adding together, should cause us to let our moderation be known unto all men. It's so easy to swing the pendulum to extremes. Now, I'm not suggesting for a moment that we should compromise truth. That is out of the question. There have been far too many people in these days who have compromised truth for the sake of being popular. Now, I'm not suggesting we should compromise truth, but I am suggesting that there should be a moderation. You know, it's so easy to go to extremes in all matters. You only need to get something started, and before long, it has swung away to an extreme. And the possibility is that right there in the church at Philippi, that is exactly what was taking place. They were veering away to extremes with regards to certain matters. But now he said, don't do that. Here is the peerless precept. Just let your moderation be known unto all men. Do not be extremists. Some people are extremists in their dress. You know, you have seen people, I have seen them in different cities where I've visited. You see them dressed in a rather peculiar way, almost saying to the people on the street, look at me, I'm a religious person. You know the idea. There's no need for Christians to dress in a special way in order to draw attention to themselves. Likewise, in our habit. Let your moderation be known unto all. Now when you come to verse 6, here is the philosophy of prayer. Very interesting indeed. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgivings, let your requests be made known unto God. Prayer. You see, seeking the presence of God with all due reverence. I wonder, is prayer simply something for the service that you attend on a Sunday? Or when you go to the midweek service and two people perhaps pray, is that all the prayer that you're accustomed to? Or do you find your prayer already written in a book? And you simply open the book at some particular prayer that has been written by someone else. Now I ask you in all fairness, how can someone else write beforehand the prayer that you want to offer to God? Prayer is a very personal, specialized thing between the Christian and his God. Seeking the presence of God with all due reverence. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. See, when difficulties arise, the place to take your difficulties is into the presence of the Lord. And there you can seek His face. But not only in prayer, but supplication. You know, in prayer, your heart may be engaged in a form of worship. You may be occupied with the glories of the Lord. But when it comes to supplication, you're thinking of your own specific needs, and you're asking for something in a very special way, believing that God will answer that supplication. You go through the Bible and you find that certain people supplicated God, asking for certain things. You can do that too. You can come boldly to the throne of grace. You can get help in time of need. And you can lay before God your supplications. But he said we should do it with thanksgivings. Now, engaging in thanksgiving, you're remembering the blessings already received and the blessings expected. We can praise God for all that is past and trust Him for all that is to come. How often have you sung that? And if you can sing it and you thank Him for all that's past and trust Him for all that's to come, you can engage in thanksgiving. If you forget what you have asked for, how will you know how to give thanks? You know, thanks that you don't hear too often today. When I was a child, my mother taught us to say thanks. If we asked for anything, we had to say, please. And when we got it, we had to say thanks. If we didn't say thanks, she would take it back and remind us that when we received anything, we must say thank you or thanks. And so I was taught that early in life, to say thanks. It seems to me that children are growing up today and they forgot to say thank you. But when the Christian comes into the presence of God, you can overcome by care sometimes, you know. And when you're overcome by care, you can go into the presence of God and overcome by prayer. So I ask you, are you overcome by care, or are you overcoming by prayer? Which? Now, do not be overcome by your problems. Overcome your problems by prayer. Take note then of the four different words that are used in this verse: prayer, supplication, thanksgivings, requests. I may not fully understand all God's ways, but I can present my requests and leave the issue with God. Thus I can confidently roll all my burden upon the Lord and leave it there. Again, you know, you sing about that. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. But isn't it true we sometimes take our burden to the Lord and we carry it away with us again? But we should take it to the Lord and leave it there. That's what he's telling us. Oh, what a philosophy. Be careful for nothing. Do not be overcome about these things. Do not be over anxious about the things. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgivings, let your requests be made known unto God. Might I stress something very vital at this point? Friend, you perhaps are in the same position as myself. Day after day and week after week in your mail, you get written letters or typed letters, printed letters, people making known their needs and begging men and women to help them to meet their needs. Now, might I suggest this? If they could learn this philosophy, that you take your requests to God, God understands them, and he knows exactly how to meet these requests. If you've never read the life story of George Muller of Bristol, England, you ought to. A man who looked after thousands of children in his day and never begged a penny. Yet, all the bills were paid on time, and he cared for those children. And Muller's work is still remembered in the city of Bristol today, although he has been dead for many years. Make your requests known unto God. And if you do that, my friend, you can rest assured you'll have peace. Now, when you look at verse 7, we have these words: and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now that is a remarkable verse, speaking about peace. Now let me remind you that so far as peace is concerned, the world only knows the name. Men have been seeking for peace for a long time, at least professedly. After World War I, they held their peace conferences. They started what was called the League of Nations. And they declared that World War I was the war to end all other wars. Well, now since we've reached this year, we know that the world hasn't known peace. They may build their peace palaces. They may hand out their peace medals. They may hold their peace conferences. They talk about peace, but of peace they only know the name. But the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about peace. The Bible speaks about peace. For example, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. That's a remarkable thing, to know that you have peace with God. But remember, peace was purchased at Calvary. And peace can be enjoyed, but cannot be comprehended. And according to this verse and others, peace acts as a guardian. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he was raised from the dead, appeared in the upper room where his disciples were in fear. And you know, fear is the opposite of peace. And the Lord Jesus Christ came into their midst, and what he said to them was this, "Peace be unto you." He spoke his message of peace. But before he went to the cross that night in the upper room, he said to them, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." The world gives peace today and takes it away tomorrow. They sign their peace treaties and then they break them. But all we're talking now of a different kind of peace here. "And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus," the peace of God. You see, we have indicated that it is possible for men and women to be brought into that glorious position and condition of knowing that they have peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. But this verse in Philippians 4 is talking about the peace of God. Let me remind you that peace was purchased at Calvary. It is a priceless commodity which medicine cannot give and money cannot buy. But Christ gave it as a legacy to his own. He says, "Peace be unto you." And so we can have this peace as the keeper of the heart, as the guardian, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It's a wonderful thing when you can lay your head down on the pillow at night with absolute peace. It's something that can be enjoyed. Now, as I have indicated, you may not be able to comprehend all that is involved in it. You see, your peace with God, which is the outcome of justification. Peace of God can be the daily enjoyment of the trusting soul. Peace. Some years ago, in a class of artists, art students, the professor gave them an assignment and asked that each one would draw and paint a picture which would express the thought of peace. Well, there were many, many who contributed their various drawings, but the one that was judged the best was the scene of a storm at seaside. The sea was raging. The waves were dashing against the rocks. It was a storm, but away up in the cleft of the rock, on a ledge, there was a bird's nest, a seagull's nest, and there was the bird sitting in the nest. No doubt there may have been eggs under it or young, but there was the bird sitting in the nest, absolutely at peace, in the midst of the great storm. The bird had found a resting place and a nesting place, a place of protection in the cleft of the rock, and in the midst of the storm was in a state of absolute peace. Ah, my friend, that is it. The world is a place that is stormy, and the Christian may be passing through this stormy world with all its ups and its downs and its difficulties, but in the midst of all the storms of life, we can find a place of peace and rest, right in the hollow of his hand. Yes, he purchased our peace at Calvary. It can be enjoyed. We can have peace with God, and we can allow the peace of God to keep the heart and mind when all disturbing enemies are kept out, when peace is the sentinel. And of course the trusting Christian then lives in peace. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. But in verses 8 and 9, he makes application of all those principles, and here is the practice of principles. It is a charter for Christian contemplation. If we think right, then usually we will act right. People who don't act right are people who haven't thought right. So the need for right thinking. Out of the abundance of the heart, you know, the mouth speaketh. What a man thinks, he begins to speak. And as he thinks and speaks, he begins to act. Let us take note of six whatsoever things upon which to meditate. Notice that word. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Now it's one thing to have peace with God. It's another thing to enjoy the peace of God. But here he tells us that the God of peace shall be with us. Things that are true. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the truth. Well, therefore, we should think upon him. If we allow our thoughts to turn to the Lord, and we can think upon him when we have pure thoughts. If there be anything, whatsoever things are true, you have to think on that. On the Lord Jesus Christ is the truth. Think of him. Let your meditation be of the Lord. Then he says, whatsoever things are honest. Think of things honorable and things that are worthy of respect. Honest things. Oh, there's a great amount of dishonesty in the world today. And the news media, absolutely filled with tales of dishonesty. And they are upsetting. But what about the honest things? Let us make much of them. Think upon the honest things, the honorable things, the worthy things. Things that are just. Meditate upon things that correspond to divine standards. You see, perhaps there's much in the world today that can be classified as unjust. There's a lot of injustices going on. But let us, on the other side, remember there are things that are just. So therefore, meditate upon things that correspond to the standards of divine justice. There are things that are pure. Again, I remind you that in much of the printing today, magazines, papers, etc., there are things that defile the mind, even things you see with the eye, things that you read, things that you hear, impure things. But that doesn't alter the fact there are many things that are pure. Let the thoughts be occupied with things that are pure, things that are considered holy. What about things that are lovely? Let us be occupied with things that are pleasing and agreeable, lovely things. Things of good report. The mind elevated to things on a noble level. Now he says there are things you have learned, things you have received, things you have heard, things you have seen, these things you should put into practice, and thus you will enjoy the companionship of the God of peace.